Thanks, Michael. I thought I'd take an opportunity to tell people a few things about myself and what I've been up to. I was born in Fairbanks in 1948, which seems like a long time ago until you realize that Michael was actually born there before I was. Moved to Anchorage in 1964, right after the earthquake. Graduated from West Anchorage High School, went to college outside, came back, and never left. I've been living in the district that I represent now for something more than 35 years. For most of my professional career, I was a newspaper man, and now I try to write mystery novels. This is my, if I win, it'll be my third term in the State House of Representatives. And what I want to do is to do a few things. I want to get back to try to rein in state spending, to make sure that our schools and our streets and our parks are up to snuff, and to see if I can't do anything at all about getting a gas pipeline. I also want to try to reassert a sense of civility in public life, which I'm afraid has gone sort of the way of the buggy whip, at least in the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Now let's hear from the Republican, Thomas Higgins.
Hello. Republicans and Democrats in Juneau have failed Alaskans time and time again. The most damaging is their never-ending attack on having access to the ballot for non-party citizens. Because of these restrictions and other voices, I chose to join the Republican Party so that I could be here tonight. Don't get me wrong. I have values the Republicans claim to be conservative and their very own, like guns, hunting, and limited government. But in my conservative Alaska, the government here is for the good of the people, not for the good of the international corporations, or to make the rich richer, or for the oil extractors and gas hoarders. Yes, gas hoarders, because that's what they have been doing for 25 years. The Democrats and Republicans together have given $500 million to TransCanada to figure out how to take Alaska's gas to Canada to help them produce oil from the tar sands and then ship it to yet another non-existing gas line to the Gulf states. Check out Anchorage Daily News yesterday for more information on that topic. When elected, I will work for an all-Alaskan line for all Alaskan people.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's turn to candidate questions. And Mr. Higgins, your question for Representative Dugan.
Why do you feel giving away $500 million to export Alaska gas when we need it here was the right choice?
The simple answer is we have a limited number of options. We can try to pretend that we're not going to need to expand the state's economy, in which case we can decide we're going to take our oil and gas and try and keep them here in some fashion. Or we can do what we've done so far, which is to export these commodities and try and get some money out of it for schools and roads and the other things that Alaskans want. That was the choice that was given to me in 2007 when I went into the legislature, which was either we're going to do some form of a GEA or we're going to sit there and hope that we're going to suddenly get taken rich in some other fashion. 59 of us decided on a GEA. Not me, not any other one person, 59 out of 60. You don't see those kinds of numbers very often in the legislature, and it will have to be sufficient to tell you that we did something right.
Mr. Higgins, your rebuttal.
Yes, you're right. 59 did, and a lot of them were Democrats. But the problem with that theory that we weren't going to make any money off of keeping it an all-Alaskan gas line is very off the wall, because during the time when this was going on, Australia was working on an $80 billion gas deal with the Chinese. So the market is out there for liquefied natural gas, and an all-Alaskan gas line could provide for Alaskans as well as export for income for the state and diversifying instead of working on this pipeline with the TransCanada, who is still working on a pipeline trying to get their oil out of Canada.
Representative Dugan, it's your opportunity to ask Mr. Higgins a question.
Thank you. Tom, since 2000, you've been a member, a nominee of the Green Party, of the Democratic Party, and now of the Republican Party. So which one are you?
I have never been a party person per se. When the Republicans asked me if I was going to obey the Republican rules, I said no, because once elected, I'm a member, I'm working for the people, not the party. As I mentioned in my opening statement, this restriction to the Republicans and Democrats having the access to the to the ballot by a different means when everybody else does is corrupt in my eyes and needs to be changed. And so I don't think the label means anything. I want people to start listening to the candidates, what they're trying to do for the people, instead of just looking at a letter at the end of their name on the ballot.
Representative Dugan.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure that the party label means much either. But what does mean something is the ability to pick something out and stick with it. You know, being sort of, no, I won't speak of you, I'll speak of me. I'm not just a lifelong Democrat. My father was a lifelong Democrat. He was, God rest his soul, what they call a yellow dog Democrat, which means he would have voted for a yellow dog before he voted for a Republican. I'm not quite that doctrinaire, but I got to tell you, I think that people, no matter what their party, should be able to find their place and follow their interests consistently, and that it's not really a recommendation for you or anybody else who's running for office that they're all over the lot all the time.
Okay, now it's the host's opportunity to ask a question, and this will be for both of you, starting with Mr. Higgins. Mr. Higgins, we have many people who come on this show promising to cut the state budget. About half of them get elected, and the state budget continues to grow. Why is that?
Because they're politicians, and they're trying to get elected. And that's their primary goal.
So they come here and don't tell the truth?
They come here and tell people what they want to hear. I'm here trying to get elected by telling people how things are happening, why they're happening. I don't care whether people are, I want people to vote for me because I'm trustworthy and I tell it like I see it instead of just telling them what they want to hear.
Okay, Mike Dugan.
I got to tell you, Michael, I don't believe that I've voted for a budget since I've got into the legislature. And I can't vote for them because we're spending money that we, you know, arguably aren't going to have for very long to do things that we expect to last a lifetime. And it's just not going to happen. The difficulty is that in things like the operating budget, you have costs that go up all the time, and nobody wants to cut back on any of the programs. In the capital budget, what you have is lean years and very fat years. We just had a very fat year. It was about a $3 billion budget before the governor got his hands on it, and it wasn't much smaller than that when he was done. You know, the difficulty is that there is really no system to install discipline in politicians when it comes to spending money.
Thank you. Second question, and this time we'll start with Mr. Representative Dugan. Education is a huge component of the state budget, and a lot of time is spent on it in Juneau. Are we getting our money's worth?
Well, we're spending about $1 billion general fund. I think it's a little bit more. I think it was $1.1 billion in the last budget, roughly. So we're spending a lot of money. Are we getting our money's worth out of it? Depends on where you're going to school. You know, there are at least three school districts in the state of Alaska, which are basically sort of in intellectual receivership. I'm not exactly sure what to call it, but aren't operating so poorly that the Department of Education has had to step in. There are also some very good schools in this state. And the problem is, how do you keep the good ones up and raise the bad ones higher? That is not necessarily just a function of money, but it's going to take money to do it.
Mr. Higgins.
Well, I'm definitely a supporter of the school system and would like to get the most out of the money we can. And one way of doing that is to keep overhead costs low. And part of that is the All-Alaskan Pipeline, supplying cheap gas for heat, cheap gas for electricity. And this goes across not just the school, it goes across to every home, every business, every government office. So better use of the money is there is necessary, and how to bring those up. I think No Child Left Behind is a washout, as many things have been over the last 10 years. And we really need to start focusing on educating and not just testing.
Okay, we have time for an additional question. If we're brief in our answers, or do the best we can to be brief. Energy costs are soaring, especially in South Central and Bush, Alaska, as we know. What can be done, or what would be the first thing you could do to address soaring energy costs?
Well, natural gas pipeline wouldn't be quick, but eventually that could solve some of the problems by stripping off the liquids off of that, the propanes, the butanes, and using those and shipping those. We can get a gas line to Fairbanks and use the Yukon for shipping down to a good portion of the state. Locally, we could create a oil refinery to produce more oil in state, so we can ship that to the Bush communities. Work on windmill systems to lower electrical costs and minimize the diesel fuel need for all these villages, and not just the villages, the Anchorage areas as well. We could micro hydroelectrics up higher in the mountains where we're not affecting the salmon streams at all, or minimizing the impact. There probably will be some retaining water flow.
Okay. Representative Dugan, I realize we need time for a seminar on this subject, but perhaps an introduction.
Well, what can we do? We can spend money. That's about what we can do here. What can we spend it on? We can spend it on anything that is going to lower the costs of energy. But the real question is this really something we should be doing? You know, there's been a lot of talk in the legislature over the past couple of years about having some sort of, comprehensive energy plan that is suddenly going to make, it cheap to buy gasoline in Quetluck, or it's going to lower the costs of, natural gas in Anchorage. Frankly, nothing but money is going to do that. And the question is, how much do you want to spend? It's not clear to me that that should be our first priority, or even a priority that gets you onto the spending list in time not to go broke.
Thank you. Now we'll go to our closing statements, and we'll go to Mr. Higgins first, the Republican challenger.
Mr. Dugan questioned my ability to keep in a party. Well, I'm more than a party. My beliefs haven't changed. That's what the people should focus at. And I wish Mr. Dugan would see that my idealism has not changed during all these years and campaign runs. I haven't been hard-nosed. When information came to me that changed my mind can be changed. I'd like to thank all of those down in Juneau who brought us the movie initiative that brought the Hollywood to town. I'm working for them right now. And that's money coming to the state, and that's what we need, to diversify with new money to the state. When we give tax breaks to oil companies, that's money that should remain in the states that's going outside. So we need tax incentives to bring new money to the state, not tax incentive to have money taken away from us.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Now, Representative Dugan.
Thanks, Michael, and thanks to the KAKM and all the listeners and viewers out there. I want to talk for a minute about what's coming. You know, we've got sort of two sets of choices we can make. We can make choices for good traditional government services, good schools, good transportation system, good health and safety networks, I guess you would call them, for everybody in Alaska. Or we can spend it all and go back to sort of pre-pipeline days where we had a small population, high prices, and a lack of opportunity. The difference between those two is self-restraint. You know, frankly, I haven't seen a lot of self-restraint in the legislature, not since I've been in, and not since I used to cover them for the past 30 years. My goal is to see what if there's much I can do to sort of help restore self-restraint to the Alaska legislature.
Thank you, Representative Dugan.